Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
Tonight we're blessed because we know who Jesus is. He is not a figment of our imagination. He's not an illusion. He is not something that is impersonable, but we thank God because not only do we know him, but we have a relationship. I knew of God when I was younger. I feared God when I was younger, but I never had the relationship. And being saved is about having the relationship. He's personal. We feel him in our hands and our feet, all over us. And we can attest to the fact that God is not dead, but he's yet alive. It means he is real. Obviously, you don't even have to be a student of the Bible to understand the perils, the dangers, the uncertainties that are in the world. You don't even need the Bible. You just have to really be alert to be a patriot, one that loves America. Many of them do believe the Bible, even though they might not make a commitment. They believe the scriptures, and many of them embrace what Nostradamus had to say. And everyone's concerned about 2012. They've spoken of it on Fox and ABC. All the major news channels have mentioned the time 2012. Well, according to the pagans, those that believe in the deities in the sky and believe in the occult, that 2012 is the year that they are targeting for the replacement of Jesus, the Antichrist, to reign. Hindus and Muslims, every major religion believes that there's someone coming somewhere around 2012 to rule the world. The date might very well be correct. It might very well be correct, even though the Bible doesn't speak upon a particular date when the Antichrist or the man of sin, who is going to portray himself as God, who will be, and I'm trying to think, I don't know, I'm a little hesitant about saying the impersonation. Yes, he might be the impersonation of the devil, but not the devil incarnated. He will be the impersonation of the devil, and it's debatable whether the devil will actually be inside of that body and possess him. And if we reference Judas, the Bible says, and the devil or Satan enter in to Judas. I'm not sure whether that was literal or was figurative. Because remember, the devil's kingdoms consist of principalities, powers, rules of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. But one thing for sure, you can expect lawlessness to increase immensely. Crime is going to increase. Atrocities, exploitation, brutalities, catastrophes, tragedies are going to get worse. Going back to the date of 2012, they might have it right. The occultists, I don't care if it's the Illuminatis, the Masons, what you call the Rosicrucians, the Scottish Rite, Church of Wicca, the black witches, the white witches, it doesn't matter. The Hindus, the Buddhists, it doesn't matter. It is in their minds, it has been formulated that this is the sacred year 2012, and they're trying to arrange everything for that particular year. Now, when we talk about the occult really means to be unknown, not revealed. It means that it's incognito, but most importantly, it's wicked, it's darkness. Jesus says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when you look at how rapidly things are unfolding, if you did not know God, you would have reasons to be alarmed. I'm eager to see what's going to happen in October if the present administration is going to be able to force the vaccinations. We got something the other day in the school. I know it's standard that they send us this every year, but it was a lot of paperwork about us forwarding information about vaccinations and kids and so forth. And the president is trying to legislate it. I don't know if he's going to use executive order. Executive order means he doesn't need Congress, he doesn't need Senate, he doesn't need all, he just signs it into law. That it'll be mandatory that you take two swine flu vaccinations, not one, but two. And if you look in the sky, they have been spraying like they have lost their minds. Has anyone noticed how they have been spraying? They have lost their minds. So I don't know if God's going to let it happen, but if it does happen, it will be a moment of truth. It will separate the pretenders from those that are contending for the faith. Now, we trust we don't have any pretenders here, do we? We are contending for the faith. And if you don't understand Jesus and understand the desired outcome of this whole ordeal, this is nothing more than the culmination, the ending of mankind, or should I say mankind's rule, or the rule of the Gentiles till Christ comes in. And Jesus says all these things must come to pass. You cannot avoid it. In fact, my wife, she was listening to Health Ranger. He's worldwide and puts a priority on health being at a premium. Many, many Americans are leaving America, and one of the hot spots, they're moving to Ecuador. And I'm just laughing about it to myself. I said, they're not going to escape. Right now, many are leaving America because of fear. And they think that they're going to get away from the present administration. No, you're not going to get away. You must remember, America is being used to control the world. And so if Ecuador is in this world, Ecuador is going to suffer the consequences. And so they're advertising to move. And they talked about how plush and lush and how the air is and how simplified it is. But there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And regrettably, the first ones that are going to be targeted, the militants, the survival groups. And as I told you before, when I was in Chicago last year, I met this professor from Michigan, one of the Michigan universities. And when I told him I was from New York, it was a prophecy conference. He said, oh, are you near the Adirondacks? I said, well, I said, it's about 50 miles or so. He said, well, that's one of the two places in America where something about the magnetic field is there that they can't use some technology. But the survivalists and the militants and the patriots, they have earmarked certain places in the Adirondacks. And here we are in New York State, and they're going to flood the place here. But there's no place to run but in Christ. They're already predicting food shortage. It's going to be here, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to modify your eating. A fluoride. It has been linked to cancer, tooth decay. In fact, you can go to any hardware store, and one of the first ingredients, or the main ingredients, I think, is sodium fluoride in rat's poison. And they take that and they put it in your toothpaste. And they put it in the drinking water. Drinking water. They're bragging now because they're out of control. In spite of some Americans who honestly think they can do something to change where we're headed. They're sincere, but no change in anything. Buy all the guns you want. The weapons of our warfare, what? They're not carnal, but mighty through God. If God doesn't keep us and save us, we won't be saved and kept. The devil is using his chief tool, and that's deception. If he cannot get you to capitulate, to give up, to quit, to surrender your will, all the devil wants you to do is stop fighting. Just surrender. Just give up. Just feel hopeless. That's all he wants. He wants me to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel hopeless. But as interested as the devil is in all of you, he always wants the leader, because it's a principle. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So if you're going through anything, I'm going through it too. Every other leader. But God selected us and we were born for this time. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have been born 100 years ago? But we were here for this time, and it's a reality. This is it. No use of wishful thinking that you could be someplace else. This is it. This is our lot. We're here. We have to deal with it. And God will help us. Food is going to be a premium. Sugar. We're going to have famine because it's going to be created. They're going to make it up. This silliness about the swine flu is made up. See all the physicians, the scientists that are talking against it, but they will not put it in the mainstream. And most people are too lazy to do research. And so out of sight, out of mind. And they actually believe that silliness about some swine's flu. One of the things about the animal species versus mankind, as you remember, Dr. Horowitz from Hawaii, when he was here, he's saying that those viruses cannot jump species. Him and thousands of other scientists have proven it, that they cannot. You cannot get a cow's disease, and you cannot get a pig's disease. Say it just doesn't work. And then if you do contact some infection, you will die, not because of the disease, but because your immune system is so weak, and it's not contagious. But the public's scared about the air. This looks afraid about global warming, but getting back to this population reduction, fluoride in your water, look it up. See what it does. It's the quickest way to eliminate people. The major player, who was a multi-millionaire, they tried to recruit him. His job was to become the president. They would set him up as president of many American businesses, and his thing was to corrupt the business so it would be destroyed. And he said he did it for the fun of it. And the interviewer asked him, saying, why did you come out and put your life at stake? He said, they're not interested in killing me. He said, I'm no one. He said, there are too many people that are involved. He said, they're too far along. He said, what changed him? He had a change of conscience. It was a meeting of the elitists in Aspen, and they had the prime minister of Canada. They had Paul Volcker there, who was the chairman of Federal Reserve, and Senator Kennedy, that just died. He said they called him into a meeting because he was so successful. And when they called him into the meeting, Paul Volcker told him that they wanted him to be the fundraiser for the Democratic National Party. And they gave him some title, so Mr. Green asked him, said, well, what is that? He said, oh, it just means you go around raising money. He said, well, how can I do that? He said, I am a Republican. And Paul Volcker, he said, it doesn't matter. We control both parties. And so he said, as he sat there, what changed his conscience was he was on vacation with his two daughters in Aspen. He said his daughter came into the room. And when his daughter came into the room, Senator Kennedy said, whoa. So I want to go to bed with her. He said, what are you talking about? He said, that's my daughter, and he's 14. And he said, Senator Kennedy said, I don't care. Now, remember, most informed people know what's going on. Some of them, like O'Hara, the O'Hara woman that was a sex slave, for the hierarchy. And last I heard, her and her husband, that both they were sex slaves, are living in Alaska. They're living in Alaska. And they tell, and no, there are many, I think they call them the MK Ultra. What is it called? MK Ultra? Many of them. But nobody's going to believe them. Many of them have escaped because it's not something that you want to believe, that you expect to believe. But you must remember, when you look at ancient history, our nature has not changed. When you look at history, all of the deities, all of the ruling class have always had sex slaves. It's nothing new. You can go to Hitler, go any of them. Any of those dynasties, empires, have always had sex slaves. And Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. Wait a minute. You remember the guy that was caught going to the White House about 6 or 7 years ago? He was a male prostitute. I'm trying to think of the incident. Maybe about 6 years ago. He frequently went to the White House under Clinton. Now you ask him, what is a male prostitute doing having access to the White House? What sense does that make? Immediately, boom, red flag's supposed to go up. But it was swept under the rug. A lot of photographers took pictures of him going. He just had access, and he was a male prostitute. Now this is the decadence, the sin, the immorality that has always gone on and still goes on. Do you know one of the biggest problems now in the world today is sex slaves? Children, 9, 8, 9 years old. One of the biggest problems in the world today is sex slaves and the exploitation of children. You can go on the internet, you can find it. You can find all these different world organizations trying to stop it. But no, they're not going to stop it, just like they're not going to stop the drugs. Not going to stop it. They're not going to stop the alcohol. They're not going to stop the cigarettes. They're not going to stop it. Why? Because it's eliminating people. And that's the key. The elitists believe that there's only enough natural resources on the whole earth for 5 million people. And 2 or 3 billion people in the world every day exist off of less than $2 a day. And he talks about how they keep changing the term. They call them useless eaters. And they're eating up the resources. And that's the name of the game that they play. What Hitler did during World War II is nothing. What happened during the Spanish Inquisition and during the French Revolution is nothing. The real havoc is about to occur. Having said that, brothers and sisters, our reference is the Bible. What we see unfolding is only what the Bible has talked about. It does not give us all the details, but it does tell us about certain events that are going to occur, and the details will produce the events. So we're going to talk about what the devil's doing. Now, I don't like talking about the devil. I have to, occasionally. It's necessary. We won't know our enemies. We don't know what he's doing unless we're able to identify him and what he does to me and what he does to you and what he does to every believer, what he does to the unbeliever, what he does to the unsaved. He uses one method until the devil begins to dominate and influence your life. He uses the same method for everybody. I'm going to show you this one method. The wiles, and we get this from Ephesians chapter 6, a stratagem. What is a wile? A stratagem or trick intended to deceive or ensnare. A disarming or seductive manner. A device or procedure. Trickery, cunning. To influence or lead by means of wiles, to entice. These are all the definition of wiles. We would say it, he's just sneaky, downright sneaky. As I told you before, the devil does not show up in a red suit. You know how this imaginary mind that the people have, that the devil walks around in some red suit? He has horns, he has a tail, and he has a pitchfork. That's a depiction in somebody's mind. That's not the devil. Infiltration. Infiltrate is to pass surreptitiously, sneakily, into enemy-held territory. We are the enemy of the devil, and the devil's the enemy of ours. To penetrate with hostile intents. Devil doesn't mean it's any good. To enter an organization, area, etc. Gradually, look at that word, gradually, and I want you to see it again. Gradually, in a secret, so as to gain influence or control. What does the devil first want to control? Our minds. There's the war. There's the battle. It's up here. It's in the mind. What comes out of the mind depends what's in the heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the thoughts of the heart. Say, guard your heart. Guard it. To gain influence or control. The definition suggests that the victim is unaware or unconscious that an invasion has or is occurring. That should be an invasion. You're not conscious of it. You're not even aware of it. Your senses doesn't pick it up. You have been invaded. That's the tactic, invasion. Throughout the Lord's instructive teachings, watching is given the highest priority. What does it mean to watch? It means to be alert. It means to be conscious, to be discerning, to know what is happening in your environment. Then you can expect what will probably happen to you. But you cannot walk day in and day out clueless. You got to be discerning. A vigilant eye. We all should be praying, God, discernment. Let me have a vigilant eye. Peter says, be sober. You know what that means? Be serious. Be vigilant. Watchful. Discerning. Because your adversary, the devil, that is our external adversary, is the devil. The internal adversary is us. It's us. The devil locks in on our wills and ambitions and desires that are contrary to God's will. He locks in on them. He watches. We're stalked day and night, watching our appetite, watching our desires, so we can lock in on them. He become fixated with weaknesses. Everything that is contrary to God concerning us is a weakness, and he watches. Learning our habits, watching our countenance, discerning what is our weakness and what is our strength. He doesn't want to mess with the strength. It's the weakness that the devil wants to work on. He wants to exploit the weakness. So you got to be vigilant. You've got to watch. It's not a game. This is about eternity. You've got to watch. You've got to discern. You've got to know when the devil's working in your circumstances. And what he'll do, he'll get in your circumstances and he will alter your thinking concerning your circumstances. Because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may destroy. He's the destroyer. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, the destroyer, Apollyon. That's Revelation refers to the destroyer. The devil is the destroyer. He is the opposite of Jesus. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. So what is the opposite of life? It's to destroy. rob, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. And you will see more when I'm talking about 2012, the occultists, the Scottish Rites, the Masons, they know what Apollyon is in the book of Revelation. They actually use the term Apollyon. The planet Jupiter is the father of Osiris or Apollyon. They believe in that astrology. And so it's very sacred to them about 2012 about the coming of Apollyon. It means destroyer. Say, whom resists steadfast? We must put up a fight. We must put up a fight. We can't yield. We can't give in. We can't submit. We cannot capitulate. Got to fight. Doesn't matter how hard it is, you still got to fight. Paul instructs Timothy, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. It means put forth your best effort. Your best effort. That's all God wants, is our best effort. Once we have put forth our best effort, God will do the rest. He give a power unto the faint, and to them that have no might, he will increase the strength. Say, resist him. Don't give in. Don't succumb. Don't yield. Say, resist. Immediately, we're portrayed as fighters, spiritual fighters. We're fighting for our sanity and our spirituality. We're fighting to keep from going to hell. It's a fight. He's looking to exploit every weakness that we have. When we don't think it's a weakness, the devil knows it's a weakness. The devil has paid more attention to us than we have to ourselves. The Bible says hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Why? Because of infiltration. Don't you think if you come to church, the devil doesn't come too? Now, when we talk about the devil, I'm using it interchangeably. The devil is walking about going to and fro. I'm using it interchangeably with the demons, his army. The Bible says the dragon fought with his army against Michael and his army in the book of Revelation. And we're living in the book of Revelation. Everywhere you go. The Bible even talks about in heaven that the sons of God came to present themselves before God, to worship God, say, and the devil came also, Satan came also among them. Why? Because the devil has to present himself before God likewise. And the Lord said, where did you come from? In the book of Job, the devil said, from walking to and fro and going throughout the earth, up and down and to and fro and going throughout the earth. We're on guard. Those of us that were possessed and we have been set free. The Bible says when an unclean spirit is going out of a man, he wanders in high and dry places seeking rest, coming to check on the house that he came out of. And when he finds nothing that is swept and garnished, means nothing but a facade, having a form of God but denying the power. Say, when he sees a facade, he say he doesn't repossess that body. Say, he takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And so that person's last end is worse than their beginning. So he's watching us. His principalities, his powers are watching us. But the Lord says, fear not, little flock. Let him watch. Fear not, little flock. Jesus says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Say, whom resists steadfast in the faith? It's not with your intellect. It's not with your mind. It's not with your shrewdness. It's not with your cleverness. Knowing that the same tests, trials, temptations, afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We are not the only ones going through what we're going through. If you only reference yourself, if all you can do is see yourself, he's going to deceive you. Now what Peter's saying, say others are putting up a fight, others are resisting, others are going through much worse, others are being victorious. Said, I remember them, reference them. There are others that are not giving up. They're not capitulating. So God is not unfair. God is not unjust. He will not allow you to be suffered or tempted above that which you're able. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Said, there are others going through much worse. Say, the same affliction, same test, same trial, same temptations. He said, but here's the result. But. He said, I just can't leave the statement. He said, but the God of all grace. Say, all you need in your time of testing is God's grace. Grace is God's help in the time of need. Can I say it again? Grace is God's help when? In the time of need. Not when we feel as though we need Him. It's always at God's discretion in the time of need. That's why He told Paul, my grace is sufficient. You don't need a spouse. You don't need a pity party. You don't need sympathy. You just need God's grace. That's all we need. You know why we're here tonight? Why we haven't capitulated? Why we haven't been devoured? Why we have not been destroyed? Is because God has been helping us. We're not here tonight because we have been strong 24 hours a day, 365 days of a year. We're here because God has compensated of all our weaknesses and all our shortcomings. His grace has made up the difference. That's why we're here. Paul says, by the grace of God, and all of us can say that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then Paul goes on to say, His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. Say, when God gave me grace, I accepted it. And then he testifies, having therefore obtained help from God, we continue unto this day, because God has been our helper. There's no doubt in my mind. There ought not to be any doubt in your mind that God is the keeper. And I believe the word. If God has kept us thus far, doesn't matter about the storm brewing on the horizon, doesn't matter how severe the test might be, doesn't matter how catastrophic things might get, it doesn't matter how perilous, how dangerous things might get, God is still a keeper. He said, I'll never leave you. That's what God says. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And every one of us that is SAVED can say, He has never, never left me. The lyrics of the song says, He never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, I want the whole world to know that Jesus never failed me yet. Hallelujah! Never, 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 never! never let me down, never disappointed me. Could have been hurt, could have been a little broken, could have had some downs, could have had some frustrations, could have had some discouragements, but he has never failed me. Never disappointed. That's why we understand what Peter's talking about, the God of all grace, who have called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered. Wow, anybody suffering? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution after that you have suffered a while. Make you. This implies that you're suffering and he's keeping you. Make you perfect. Establish. Suffering strengthens. But most importantly, I shall not be moved. Settle you. Steadfastness. See, it talks about whom resists steadfast in the faith. It means that you don't give up. You don't allow yourself to shift or to oscillate or to fluctuate or to go up and down. You are constant. You are steadfast. Might be weak, but you're still steadfast. And the first form of steadfastness, of firmness that God looks for is in the mind. For if there first be a... If you don't give up here, you're not going to give up. It's got to be your resolve. I will not give up. I will not surrender. And you can't be timid when you say it either. Can't have no reservation. Somebody asks you, are you saved? I don't know. You better know. Are you going all the way with Jesus? Well, I think so. The Bible says, if a man think of a thing, he knows it not yet as he ought to know. There's no thinking in it. Are you going all the way with Jesus? Hallelujah. No, so salvation. Are you saying yes? Hallelujah. You don't have to tell me. When your mind is made up, nobody has to tell you that you're saved. You know you're saved. You know he's real. You know God's a keeper. You know he's a provider. Hallelujah. I mean, and the song says, I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. The song says, God is not dead. He's yet alive, and I feel him. Hallelujah. I got a relationship with him. That's why I feel him. This is no relationship where you're reading the Bible and it's all abstract. No, we have a relationship. Song says, how do you know he lived for? He lives within me. Does God live in you? Glory. Watching. So I got to prioritize. Got to watch that devil. Got to watch him. When I go home, I got to watch him. On the job, I got to watch him. And particularly when you're separated from the saints, you got to watch. He loves to isolate us. Praying, Jesus, and he spake the parable unto them to this end. Men ought to always to pray. When a person faints, it can be directly traced to a lack of prayer. Recently, we had some dynamic testimonies come in here of some brothers. Dynamic. God delivered them. But the saying is so true. You don't pray, you don't stay. Prayer is not an option. It's a necessity. Devil doesn't care about how loud we talk. He doesn't care about the volume of our voice. He wants to know, is there any power? All the devil recognizes is power. He is a power, and he represents opposition of power. He doesn't care about what you say and New Year's resolutions and going to talk about, I'm going to do. The devil don't care about talk. He's watching your prayer life. Watch it. The devil's got his eye on our prayer life. He knows how far he can go and he can. So he's watching. He knows that if you don't pray, you're not going to be strong. You're not going to resist. You're not going to be discerning. And this hit and lick and miss is not going to make it. You got to be steadfast. Men ought to always pray. It means under all circumstances, all conditions, got to pray. How are we going to get through it? Got to pray. I don't understand everything that's happening. I still got to pray. My body's in pain. I got to pray. Seem like all the doors are closed. Still got to pray. I don't know about tomorrow and all these deadlines. I still got to pray. I don't seem like I have a handle on everything, but I still got to pray. There's some things I don't have any answers for, but I still got to pray. Men ought to always pray and not capitulate. Don't give up. Shirley Caesar, so true was the song, God don't want, God don't need coward soldiers. Lord doesn't need cowards. Cowards are nothing but traitors. There's no time to betray the Lord now. The Lord says, even having your hands put to the plow, looking back, Jesus says you're not fit for heaven. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? Keep praying in the Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And because we're praying in the Spirit, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. It means God is working everything out for our benefit. Hallelujah. And I'm praying and I'm watching. I'm praying and I'm watching. As the song said, you pray on. I'll pray on. Some sweet day after a while. It's not now, but some sweet day after a while, say, praying time will all be over. That's our weapon. That weapon, we got to use that weapon. Pray, pray, pray. That's that weapon. Thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Instructive warnings, admonition. Jesus. Infiltration. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Now look, let's assess what Jesus is saying. He said the way to destruction is so prevalent, it's so popular, it can easily fit into the context of your life. See, it's broad. It has broad, a limitless boundaries. Say, that's the way everybody's going to go. He said, because straight is the gate, narrow. It means there are restrictions. When something is narrow, there are restrictions. When it's broad, there's no restrictions. Say, it will be a restrictive way. He said, only a few are going to find life. Say, he said, the majority of them are not going to find it. See, you have to find it. Salvation is cheap, it's free, but it's not cheap. You have to put some sweat equity into it. This thing of wanting God to come and put something and drop something in your lap is unrealistic. You've got to show God that you're desperate. Say, find it. Only a few there be to find it. And when you look at that FEW, you must envision yourself being in that number. You got to see yourself in view. Song says, when the saints go marching in, I want to be where? The few. And see, you got to put some effort. You got to find it. Now, here's the warning. Beware of false teachers. It really means false teachers, false prophets. That come to you. Here you go. See, come to you means infiltrate. Come in. See, they come in the church. Then don't worry about the ones outside of the church. The ones you have to be concerned about. See, when they're outside of the church, they're obvious. Yeah, that's a false teacher. That's a false teacher. He said, but it's the ones you got to be concerned with, those that are in the church. They come in. They enter in. Say, you won't detect them. Why? Because they look and act like everybody else. They have sheep's clothing in. It's talking about their disposition, their mannerism. Say, they fit in because they look like a sheep. If a wolf comes in among the sheep will scatter. It must come disguised. The teachers, the preachers, they must come disguised. They got to look like everybody else. Got to sound like one, got to act like one. He said, but the inward parts, inwardly, greed. Say, you're tracing, say, watch the money trail. Everything will be about money. Premise on money, money. It's easy to identify them today. Finding a way. Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Don't let the devil infiltrate your mind to make you believe that God hates you or God doesn't like you. You might not say God doesn't like me, but when you use the term and the phrase, nobody loves me, you're not even acknowledging that God exists. Or that God is even important. Nobody cares. That's a lie. That's philosophical, that comes from the devil. What do you mean nobody cares? You're excluding God out of the equation. And in spite of your best judgment, somebody somewhere cares. Somebody somewhere is praying for you. I was praying. I've been doing it for a while. I said, Lord, I don't know any names over in North Korea. I said, but I know there's someone over there in desperation this very moment. I said, because it's probably the most persecuted place on the earth now is North Korea. I said, Lord, I'm praying for them. Sometimes I'll be praying. I said, Lord, there's some missionaries about ready to give up. Some of them have a desire to come home and can't come home. Some of them are in danger, even this very hour. Got to pray for them. Someone's always, as God has us praying for someone, someone is praying for us. We know the ones that we support, they pray all the time for us, all the time, without failure. They've just reiterated again to me this week. So all the churches are praying for you. All the brothers and sisters are praying. No such thing as nobody cares. Somebody does. He said, I know the thoughts I think of you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end or his desire for you. What is your better interest? God always works things out for our better interest. He said, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. When? What it says. When? That's the key. You do it. Search for me with all your heart. You'll find God. He said, if you put your heart in, he said, I'll give you a promise. You'll locate me. He said, but you got to put your heart in it. So you'll find me. While he is near, Isaiah, seek ye the Lord. Wow. He may be found. Call ye upon him while he is here, while he's near, while you have the opportunity. Let the wicked say you'll never find him unless you purpose you're going to forsake your ways. And then those that were righteous. See, you cannot be unrighteous unless you were first righteous. So it's really talking about those that have backslid. You don't have to be out of the church to backslide. You can be in the church and be in a backslidden condition. Say, you were right, but now you're unrighteous. And the reason is because your thoughts. Say, an unrighteous man, his thoughts, say, you don't think the way God thinks. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, Isaiah 4, say, God will stretch his arms out and welcome you back. Say, he will abundantly or exceedingly forgive and pardon. But you got to seek him with all your heart. Isaiah says a highway shall be there. Figuratively and literally, a highway. And a way, it shall be called holiness. Father says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He is a holy God, and God expects us to be holy. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the traveler. This wayfaring means you're just traveling, and you're weary, and you're worn, you're tired of looking, you're tired of trekking. The wayfaring men say, though fools. Say, a fool will not stumble in this, because a fool will not trust, will not believe God, will not seek God. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be found there, shall not be found there, but it shall, but the redeemed shall walk in the highway called holiness. The redeemed. If you're the redeemed, you're in the highway of holiness. Absoluteness. Jesus saith unto them, I am. There's no Hare Krishna, no Buddha, no Allah, none of them. There's no compromise. There's not five ways to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the, not a way, but the way. The truth is all about living a spiritual life. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And no man cometh unto the Father. See, there's no way to go up to God but by Jesus. No other way. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Jesus said, I'm the Father. Absoluteness is perfect in quality of nature, complete, pure, not to be doubted or questioned. Unquestionably accurate. It means you can trust God. If he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, it's absoluteness. An undetected enemy. Undetected is not having been discovered. Our adversary is the devil, an opponent, an enemy that hides and disguises himself. Yes, the devil's in all of our business. You always say, I don't want nobody in my business. The devil's in your business. The devil is in everybody's business. Now try to get him out of your business. It means the attacks, the invasion, the infiltration must be so subtle. It means so slight as to be difficult to detect or describe. Elusive. And that's what the devil wants to do, is cloud our thinking. He wants us to understand everything before we act on faith. You want to understand how to cross all the T's and dot all the I's before you act on faith. But that is not how it works. Faith is a trust. You must trust God, and because you trust God, you will obey or yield to his word, not understanding anything. You cannot understand how God is going to take all of our waywardness, all of our mistakes, all of our shortcomings, and is going to convert them to our best interest. You don't understand that, because his ways are past finding out. Clever, crafty, or sly, the devil is. Devious. Operating in a hidden, usually injurious way, insidious. So the attacks must be so subtle that it does not arouse the conscious mind. Look at this, brothers and sisters. Not a attack, but the, why I say attacks? Because Paul says we're troubled on what? And what we have four sides? The attacks must be so subtle that it is, does not arouse, stimulates, alert, or stir up the conscious. It means you're clueless. Instructive teaching. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, the church, is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The guardians slept means that they died. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. Then appeared the tares, the wheat. Over in Palestine, the tares over there, their weeds, weeds are a little different than ours. The similarity is so striking in between a young wheat plant and a young tare that unless you have a trained eye, you will not be able to discern the difference. Prophetic warning, why men slept. And now behold, Paul the apostle says, I know that ye among whom I have gone preaching in the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul says, the last time. Say, God has shown it to me. This is it. Say, you won't see me anymore. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Said, counsel is God's plan of action. He said, I'm guiltless. He said, I've told you everything that you ought to know. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men, whether you liked it or not. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. God appoints overseers. Overseers. You see, but you have an overseer to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. See, that's how God has established structure. He will have a flock and he will have an overseer to feed the flock. He said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart. That's God's structure. That's God's system, and you cannot circumvent that. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, there goes the infiltration, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. There goes the infiltration. Say, they're going to enter in. Now, don't worry about out there. It's what's coming in the church or what is in the church. Also of your own selves, and this is a startling part. He said, I'm warning you when I'm gone. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples to follow them. What are perverse things? Directed away from what is right or good, perverted, obstinately persistent in an error or fault, wrongly self-will or stubborn. Say perverted. Say now watch for those that are coming in among you, but watch those that are among you. So they're going to lead disciples after. Prophetic others. Now this is the answer to the parable, and we're just about finished. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the fields? From whence then has it tares? Say, now wait a minute. Weren't all good seeds planted? Say, where did the tares come from? He said unto them, an enemy. Who's the enemy? Have done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? Say, wait a minute. Say, now we realize they are tares. See, here's the problem. When the wheat and tares both grew together, suddenly the reapers, the angels said, wait a minute. That's not what you planted. But he said unto him, nay, no. Say, don't gather them up. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. What he's saying, said, wait a minute. Above ground, you just see the blade. He said, but beneath that, he said, the tares have intertwined themselves in the root of the wheat. So if you pull the tares up, you might pull some wheat up too. The weak, not the strong. See, the deeper the root goes down, the stronger the plant is. But you remember there are two classes of people, those that are shallow rooted and those that are deep rooted. So he's concerned about those that are shallow rooted. He said, no, he said the tares, and what you don't understand, the roots of the tares have wrapped themselves around all the wheat. I'm not concerned about the strong, but I'm concerned about the weak. Say, if you pull them up, you uproot the weak too. There are a lot of weak that's feeble-minded. They're not deep-rooted. Let both grow together. Nay, 29. But he said, nay, less while you gather up the tares, ye root, you see, ye root up also the wheat with them. See, if they were just separate, you just pull the wheat up. No, them weeds have wrapped themselves around the roots. Let both grow together until the harvest. Say, let them grow. Why? Because he said, my sheep will hear my voice. God knows how to keep us from deception. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them up in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Why does God permit the wheat and the tares to grow together? He's hoping. Why does God allow evil men to exist? Because he's given them the benefit of the doubt. He's hoping that they will convert. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of God, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. Say, they shall come from without, they shall infiltrate, and then that spirit of the wicked one will rise up among you. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Go down to verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. See, everybody that has ever lived is going to go to heaven or hell. That's it. You're going to heaven or hell. The Bible only speaks about heaven or hell. Nothing in between. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing. Wailing means this high-pitched scream of pain and grief. He didn't say cry. There's a difference between crying and weeping. It says you are crying and weeping with this high-pitched scream because of agony and pain. And then it goes on. You really can't even scream. It says you're grinding your teeth. The pain is so indescribable, incomprehensible, so excruciating. This is the reaction. To wail is a long, loud, high-pitched cry of grief and pain. But we don't have to worry about that. We aren't going to ever worry about that, because we're not going to put ourselves in that position again to worry about that. We're saved. And we're coming down the stretch. Song says, I feel all right. No condemnation in my soul today. Jesus has washed my sins away. I'm saved. I'm saved today. Are you saved today?
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679.
Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. You can visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net.
And don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Gospel Impact Radio.